Well, good morning. Would you take your bulletin and stand and join with us in singing our call to worship this morning? Jesus, draw me close. Jesus, draw me close.
You look like the third base coach. So far.
Still home, still home.
Just everybody sit down and we'll start over.
I'll just get a knife. We can do it.
Okay. Thank you for the blessings, the mercy that was new when we got up this morning. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you, God, that you would care about us so much that your word says that you save our tears in a bottle. I pray for those, God, that have had a tough week, that have come into this place today seeking some rest and seeking some peace. That you would help all of us, God, to hear attentively from your voice, that you would speak directly, not to our minds, but to our hearts. God, that we would be changed, that we'd be different, molded more into the image of your Son before we leave this place. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Well, I wanted to begin today by thanking all of you that had a part in last night. Wow, that was a lot of fun. Had a lot of food, a lot of laughs, a lot of good times, and thanks. Thanks for all of that. Doug told me we raised $775 last night for the building fund, so that's That's good news. But anyway, thanks to everybody. Where you set up tables, cooked, whatever you did, it was really, really fun. So thank you. Today, if you have an article for the February newsletter, please get that down to Sherry. She'll be working on that first thing in the morning. Deacons meeting, guys, don't forget that on Tuesday night. We don't have this in the bulletin, mainly because I was out of town and I hadn't got caught up yet. But every year, you know, they play a little football game. They're playing a little football game next Sunday night. That's, maybe you've heard. But the Super Bowl, we always have the Super Bowl, S-O-U-P-E-R, Bowl, to raise money for our community shelter. And so as you leave next week, we'll have some folks at the door to receive that offering. This helps those that a lot of them don't have a place to stay or living in their car, and helps the shelter stay open. So we'll be doing that next Sunday. I wanted to make you aware of that. You also have two important dates coming up, our men's retreat. There's a date in there for that. All guys are invited to go, but we only have beds for 15, so make sure you get signed up for that. Youth Fish Fry is coming up as well, and that date's in there. I need to tell you, I know I just got back, but I'm leaving again in the morning to go to Orlando for a pastor's conference. If you guys would pray for the other drivers as I'm going to Orlando, it's not safe for them while I'm out there, but I'll be back sometime on Friday. But please pray about that. It's a great conference. They bring in pastors from all over the world, and I'll have a different perspective about the kingdom come next Sunday. So anyway, pray for me this week. It may be that we have somebody here for the first time. I don't think I saw anybody for the first time today, but Philip's got some information for you. If this is your first time, Philip, I'm going to have to leave you here for a sec because I forgot about you. She wanted to make an announcement.
I just wanted to remind the children and the parents that we will start back with our children's choir today, 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall.
Yeah. 4 o'clock today, children's practice. We also have a new addition to our communion table. It's a beautiful cross down here. Tom made that right there, so y'all be sure to express your appreciation to him. Now, those of you who were here for the first time, those of you who normally attend, if you see somebody that's here for the first time, you stop, Philip. Let's get that information to them. If you get one of the packets, please fill out the white card, hand it to somebody before you leave so we can write you and thank you for being here. Let's all stand in honor of our guest today, please.
Let's join together in singing the first verse in chorus to How Great Thou Art, and then we'll take a moment to greet those around us.
Stars, I hear the rolling thunder.
Remain standing and take your hymnals once again. Hymn number 4, To God Be the Glory. Let's sing the first and last verses. First and last of hymn number 4.
Father, you tell us that if we hold back our praise, the stones will cry out in praise to you. But Father, we don't want to take that chance. We want to praise you while we're here. We'll be praising you for all of eternity, God, for who you are and what you've done. God, now we come to praise you, to worship you with our giving. And I pray, God, you'd put it on people's hearts to give so others can hear about your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
We can get all the kids to come up. Good morning. Everybody good?
Yeah.
You're the only one awake. Good, good. We're going to talk this morning about how to...
Oh, why?
Yeah, I know. I tell you, I can't believe that either. But we're going to see how we can look at something a little more clear, okay? Does anybody know what this is? It's not a man purse, okay? It's not a pocketbook. It's not a purse. It's not a wallet. A case? What? That's close. It is. Now, what's in it? What? Think about that. Here, this right here. Now we know. It's binoculars, right? All right. I need you guys to do something, okay? And then I'm going to see if you're right. Everybody turn around and look at Mr. Greg. Can you see him? Good. Okay. Holding the paper that's got something written on it. Tell me what it is. See an A and an E. You know what it is? Come here, tell me. Come here, tell me. Come here. Come here. No, he knows what it is. I'm going to let him look and confirm. I want you to whisper in my ear and tell me what it is, Drew. Now, I want you to look in here. You don't have to use these, do you? You already see what it is. I'm going to tell you guys what he said. He's right.
Love.
Love. I'll challenge any adult to turn around and read it from right there. That's amazing. So we're going to see. Okay. I'm going to let him look because he guessed it, okay? Call it in. Okay. You see it? Can you make it out? You don't need them stinking binoculars. You already see it.
What?
I think my battery died. Whenever you can see through these binoculars, you want to read it crystal clear. Pray, ask God to reveal what's in the words before you read it. So when your parents read the word to God before you read it, ask God to show you what He wants you to know out of that. Because every one of you can read the scripture, and if God wants you to know something different, He'll tell you something, He'll show you something different. So you want to read the Bible. It's coming. So everybody make sense? Read the Bible like you look through binoculars. Be real clear.
Why?
You cheated? Did you see them through this? His brother was honest. He wasn't honest. All right. Well, that's... as long as we know it says love, right? So read the Bible to tell you what you, and don't cheat. All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for these kids, Father God. Down and just study you a little bit more, Father God. Thank you for the parents that bring them. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the unity we have, Father God. Thank you for the leaders in this church. Just bless us, Father God, in all that we do. May we just pull together and be together, Father God, and continue to be that landmark we need to be. We love you. Of course, in Jesus' name, amen.
Have faith in God. Hymn 405.
Well, I wanted to take a few moments right at the first to talk a little bit about the trip to Israel. I'm going to try to do this over the next several weeks. I'm waiting. We had a gentleman on our trip who had his GoPro, and he was filming everything we did, and he's supposed to be putting us a DVD together. So I'm kind of waiting on that to do a more formal thing. But I want to take a couple of minutes at the beginning over the next few weeks to talk about the trip a little bit. First of all, I wanted to thank you not only for giving me the freedom to go, but by helping me financially to make that possible. It's good to be at a church where you guys are supportive of your pastor. The second thing I wanted to mention was why I wound up on this particular trip. I had always had this attitude, and like most of my attitudes, it was wrong. I had always had this attitude that it would be selfish of me to take that trip. I have always, over the last 23 years, I guess, use the resources that you provide for me to go on mission trips because I was helping other people. And I saw a trip to the Holy Land as something I was doing for myself. I'd have pastors come up to me and they would say, "Well, you've been a pastor 20 years and you haven't been to the Holy Land?" And I never said this, but I always wanted to look back at them and say, "You've been a pastor 20 years and you haven't gone on a mission trip?" That was kind of my attitude with the whole thing. But from the moment that we made our first stop, I realized that that attitude was wrong. But anyway, that's why I had never gone. But this trip was designed just for pastors, spouses, staff to go. It was provided by Noseworthy Travel. They do this kind of thing all the time. And the idea was to get pastors to go, hoping that they would bring groups, which I think will probably happen for us at some point, to try to go over there, start saving your nickels and dimes. We're going to try to make that happen. But anyway, I thought it was a good business investment for them and a good spiritual investment for you. I have to kind of back up a little bit to tell you that I went with 36 Church of God pastors and staff and spouses from most all over Florida. I had met them through the travel agent. Some of you remember Sherry and I went on a cruise that we had won, and the travel agent was on that cruise. That's the only reason I knew about the trip. And that came back to haunt me when I got into the airport in Miami. And you have to go through Israeli security to get on the plane. This is much more secure than TSA. This little girl was there interrogating me for about 12 or 15 minutes. And she says, "Who do you know in the group?" "I don't know anybody." "How did you hear about this trip?" "Well, that's a long story." "You guys are all in the same..." "No, I'm the Baptist here. They're all Church of God." And that was when she went and talked to her supervisor. Then she came back and she's like, "Is your wife traveling with you?" I said, "No, I'm traveling by myself." And, "Who packed your suitcase?" "Oh, I packed my suitcase." "Has it been with you the whole time?" "Yes." "Do you know anybody who lives in the Middle East?" Now, the correct answer to that question is no, but I do know somebody. And I figure this girl has been trained to know if I'm lying. So I said to her, "Yes, I do know one guy in the Middle East. He lives in Lebanon." "Oh, Lebanon." "How long have you known him? When was the last time you talked to him? Does he know that you're on this trip? Are you planning to see him while you're here?" And I must tell you, for a while, I was wondering if I was going to get on the plane at all. But they interrogated everybody in our group, but they took a little extra time with me. So that part was kind of interesting. So we took the flight. We flew 12 hours from Miami over to Tel Aviv. And if you're wondering if that's a long flight, that's a long flight. And we're at the gate. By the way, we're at the gate before we even get on the plane, though. And some of you guys have flown before. You know, we're watching them. They're loading the suitcases and they're putting the food on the plane. Everybody on the tarmac had to stand like this and get wanded. Everybody. the guy with the little flashlights, the guy who puts out the little cones, the guy who drove the buggy up to put the luggage on, everybody gets wanded. In fact, the guy drove up to put the food on the plane, and you guys know that. They drive the thing up, they raise it up, they load the food. He got the truck there and started to raise it up, and security sent him away from the plane because they had to inspect that before he came near the plane again. Now some of you may be thinking, that must have scared you pretty much. No, that made me feel better. Because there are 6 million Jews in Israel. There are 300 million Muslims who live around them that want to kill them. And so the fact that they were doing security made me feel safer. But we made the trip, and we got to Tel Aviv. We've been traveling now for more than 20 hours. And the bus driver is taking us to the hotel. He pulls us off to the side of the road. And he told us to get out, that we wanted to see this overlook. And those of you that follow Facebook, this is the first picture I took. It was the overlook of Jerusalem. And the guide told us at that moment, he said, this is the view that Abraham would have had. God comes to Abraham. He's 75 years old. And he says, Abraham, I want you to pack up and move. Where are we going? I'll show you. I'll go to a land that I will show you. I'll tell you when we get there. And I would love to have been around when Abraham and Sarah had that conversation. That would not have gone well at my house. Sherry, I need you to pack. Well, where are we going? We're moving. Where are we moving? I don't know. God says he'll show us. That would not have gone well at my house. But Abraham gets to this land that God has promised him, this land where God said, if you will do this, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you, and through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And I am now standing, not in the exact spot, but in a similar spot to where Abraham would have stood. And I'm looking out, and I'm trying to imagine the emotions that Abraham had. And I started having those same emotions. I stood there and wept, and I could not stop because God was faithful to Abraham, and God has been faithful to me. And I like to think I experienced a little bit of what Abraham experienced. And I can talk for the next hour, but I want to preach. So turn with me over to Luke chapter 12. We'll put a button there and we'll continue this later. Luke chapter 12. And we've got to start with verse 35. Jesus is speaking, and he says this: let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them set down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he would come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect. Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household and to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him a ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him. And at that hour, when he's not aware, he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom has much been committed, to him they will ask the more. Father, help us as we study your word over the next few minutes, God. And burn its truths into our heart that we can be better servants of yours. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many years ago, a lady from my church had found a button at a Christian bookstore, one of those little buttons that you just stick on your coat. And the button said this: Jesus is coming, look busy. Now, we've all had that attitude, haven't we? Where somebody's going to come unexpectedly. I remember when I was in eighth grade social studies class, my teacher was Mr. Bronowitz. Mr. Bronowitz was 10 feet 6 and weighed about 900 pounds. He was the biggest man I knew. And Mr. Bronowitz was no joke when it came to discipline. Now the children in here, you have to understand, in my day, there was a day when you got paddled at school. And Mr. Bronowitz had a paddle that he had named the Old Pine Knot. And I was hoping never to get introduced to the Old Pine Knot. Most of us were scared about that. So one day, Mr. Bronowitz tells the class he's going to leave for a few minutes. And he'll be back, and we all should stay in our seats. And that's what he expected when he came back. But there was this guy in my class named Walter. And Walter was kind of the class clown. And Walter, after Mr. Bronowitz had been gone for a while, Walter decided to go to the back of the class and get him a little drink of water. And I was sitting in the back row, which is where I like to stay in Mr. Bronowitz's class. And I was back there at the back, so when Walter got some water, he took a little cup of that and threw it at me. Well, I decided that I was going to get up and I was going to stick Walter's head under the sink and I was going to load him up. So I got up and I was about to go get Walter, and Mr. Bronowitz came in an hour when I did not expect it. And I was a kid and never got in much trouble, but Mr. Bronowitz got me in trouble that day, and Walter and I got to meet the Old Pine Knot because we were not doing what we were supposed to be doing while Mr. Bronowitz was away. Same thing happens at the workplace, doesn't it? Unless you're self-employed, we all know that when the boss is not there, not nearly as much work gets done. And if the big boss is coming, oh my gracious, everything's clean, everything's put away, everybody's looking busy. It must have been something similar that Jesus was trying to use as an illustration when he's talking here. In your Bible, if you have a study Bible, it probably says parable of the faithful and unfaithful servant. Mine says the faithful servant and the evil servant. But what does it mean to be a faithful servant? Before we get to our scripture, I want to go back to a couple of other scriptures. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable called the parable of the talents. Some of you will remember the guy's getting ready to go away to a far country. He calls his servants together. To one servant, he gives 5 talents. To another, he gives 2. To another, he gives 1. He goes away. He's gone for some time. When he comes back, the guy who had 5 talents, when he calls him to give an accounting, he said, you gave me 5 talents. I've invested it. Here are 5 more. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your rest. The one who got 2 talents comes to the master and he says, you gave me 2 talents. I now have 4. And he says the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. And then the guy comes who only got the 1 talent. And he said, I was so afraid that I hid my talent in the ground. And here it is. I'm giving it back to you exactly what you gave to me. And you remember what he said. You are a lazy and wicked servant. Now, what's Jesus trying to say? Those of us who are his servants, those of us who have been born into the kingdom of God, we have been given talents, abilities, and resources, and we are to use them in the building up of the kingdom. all of us who are Christians, we all talk about it all the time. The one thing I want to hear when I get to heaven is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your rest. Now, here's our application. If God has given you the ability to sing, you ought to be using that in the kingdom. I'll see you in the choir next week. If God has given you the ability to teach, you ought to be working in our Awanas or in our Sunday school class. If God has given you resources, and in America we all have resources, you should be investing those in the kingdom of God. When you got saved, God, the Holy Spirit, gave you gifts and abilities and talents. He gave them to you on that day to be used in the kingdom. And can I tell you, sitting on your blessed assurance is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. And we ought to be doing something if we want to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 puts it this way. Let a man so consider as servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And the word faithful there means trustworthy. If you want to hear those words, well done, God has got to be able to trust you. This has been a tough week in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. There was a pastor in Wilkes County, North Carolina, that's in jail today for doing over 100 acts of indecent liberties with children, over 100. And he is going to face judgment in our courts. But may I tell you, he's going to face a stricter judgment when he stands before our Heavenly Father. And God's got to be able to trust us. I look at all these kids that God has provided to us, and it would break my heart if anybody did anything to them to harm them, much less a pastor. I'd like to hang out there, but let's move on. 1 John chapter 2, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. Now I spent some time a week ago walking where Jesus walked, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about walking as Jesus walked. In other words, when people encounter us on our day-to-day living, and they start to describe us, the way that they describe us ought to be the way that they would have described Jesus. Right? Because we're walking as he walked. There shouldn't be any doubt in the hearts of your family that you're a Christian. Shouldn't be any doubts in your students at school where you go. They ought to know you're a Christian. The places where you work, people you play golf with, even that checker at Walmart ought to be able to tell that you're a Christian. That's how faithful servants live. So now let's go back to our passage. Dr. Luke is talking to us about being faithful. And in verse 35, he says, keep your waist girded and your lamps burning. That's how you be faithful. Now, some of you may be thinking, I don't understand either one of those things. I keep my waist girded because my pants will fall down. But in those days, it was a little different because everybody wore robes. And now, any of you at the Christmas play, when you're wearing those robes, you ever tried to run? You can't run. Yeah, you'll fall on your face. So what they did is they wore a belt around their robe, and so they had reached down and grabbed the bottom of that, and they'd tuck it in there, and now their legs are showing, but they can run. So what he's talking about here is keep your waist girded, so in case you have to do something quick, you'll be able to do that. I found it interesting. I was looking at Ephesians 6 where it talks about the armor of God, and this is what it says. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Interesting. 1 Peter puts it this way, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and with fear. In other words, faithful servants walking as he walked, there ought to be a noticeable difference, especially in our country, when the dark's getting darker and the light's getting lighter. There ought to be a noticeable difference between those who are faithful servants and those who are not. Here's our problem. Nobody's asking why we're different. You know why? Because we're not. We're watching the same TV programs. We're visiting the same websites. We're going, we're dressing just like the world. We're doing everything the way the world does. So nobody's asking, why are you different? Because they don't see a difference. When they see a difference and they ask us, we got to be ready to give them an answer. But the problem is, they're not seeing a difference. Not only does he say our waist is to be girded with truth, we're to have our lamps burning. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city that's on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do they take a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand so it gives light to all. Our Christian life should be the most noticeable thing about us. When somebody's asked to describe us in one word, it should not be, oh, well, that person's an athlete. You know, I mean, if I ever seen an athlete, that's an athlete. If that person, if ever there was a Tar Heel fan, that's a Tar Heel fan. If ever there was a smart person, that's him. The things that they ought to be saying, if ever there was a Christian, there's one. If ever there was somebody who was faithful to God, there's one. One of the places on my trip the other week was the Garden of Gethsemane. It's the one place that if I talk about it too long, I get emotional. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, it overlooks Jerusalem, and some of the olive trees that are there in the garden were probably there when Jesus was there. And we went in there. We were able to have access to a different part of the garden than most people, and we had a prayer time, and I got over by one of those olive trees, and I tried to pray, but I couldn't pray. I was weeping because it was there somewhere in that garden where Jesus was praying for me, and he was praying to the point where his sweat became like drops of blood, and he was praying for the Father. If there's any way that I can get out of going to the cross. But not my will, but yours be done. And I thought about how it must have been for Jesus in that garden. And I thought, how unworthy am I that he would do that for me? See, we need to be faithful because he has been faithful to us. And I want to hear him say, well done, because he has been faithful to me. Verse 36 and 37, he talks about qualities of faithful servants. We're to be watching in anticipation for Jesus to return, because he could return at any moment. I wish I had been watching for Mr. Bronowitz. I wish every moment that he was gone, I'd have been thinking, now Bronowitz can come in at any moment. Because if I had been thinking that when Walter threw water on me, it wouldn't have affected me one bit, right? Because I would have been more afraid of Mr. Bronowitz than I was trying to be friends with Walter. But when Walter threw water on me, the only thing I was thinking about was, I'm not letting Walter get by with this. I wasn't thinking about Mr. Bronowitz anymore. And see, a lot of times we're not thinking about Jesus returning, so we make a mistake. And one mistake can ruin a marriage, and one mistake can ruin a reputation, and one mistake can hurt our influence. And God forgives, and he has grace, but there are consequences for sin. We are to be faithful. We're to be faithful because he could come at any moment. And listen, not only are we worried about that, we're excited about that. We're hoping for him to return. We're looking forward to the day that he's going to come back. The older I get, the more homesick for heaven I become. Is anybody else with me? It's kind of like when you're on vacation and you're loving the place that you are, and it's a beautiful place, but there comes that point where when we know that tomorrow we're going home, can I tell you, at that point, I don't notice anything else. I'm thinking about my bed back home. I'm thinking about my friends back home. I'm thinking about my family back home. I'm not having any fun anymore. I got my mind somewhere else. And that's the way it ought to be for us as Christians. We got our mind on heaven. We're looking forward to that day when he comes. Another characteristic is verses 38 and 40. They're ready no matter when he comes. it's easy for us to be Christians in here. Easy. We got temperature control. We got padded pews. You know, we have brothers and sisters in China today, and they met for worship, and they sang the same kind of songs that we sing. But they knew at any moment that the police could come in and take them to jail. We had brothers and sisters in the Middle East who sang the same songs that you and I sing. And they were singing them quietly because they knew at any moment the government might come in and take them out and they'll lose their head. We had brothers and sisters in Central America, some of those that we've met, that today walked an hour and a half to get to church, and they'll stand 2 hours in the rain to have church, and then they'll walk an hour home. It's a little harder for them. It's easy for us. We're to be faithful and consistent in our walk, no matter how hard it gets to be. So then he takes a turn. He starts talking about unfaithful servants. And notice verse 45, he delayed his coming, and these servants began to do two things. First of all, they beat the other servants. The others, the peers, the others who were faithful, they beat them. Now listen, if you don't love my kids, if you talk bad about my kids, if you do something bad to my kids, you and I are never going to be close. Amen? Never. Because parents defend their children. They protect their children. And if you're going to be mean to my kids, if you're going to do stuff to my kids, you and I can't be close. In fact, I don't want to spend time with you. If you're going to speak bad about my kids, I don't want to spend any time with you. Can't you imagine that God, the Father, the Heavenly Father, the perfect Father, when you speak badly about one of His kids, when you do things to hurt one of His kids, when you do things to discourage one of His kids, you're never going to be close. Never. The other thing they did is they got drunk. Did you see that? They started to drink. They got drunk. I read an article some weeks ago written by a former alcoholic who's now a pastor. And he wrote an article. It's called 50 Reasons Why I Don't Drink. Let me just give you his top 12. First one is, I can't be sober-minded if I'm not sober. Alcohol has an assignment, destruction. Alcohol is a depressant. Anything that depresses should be avoided at all costs. I don't want my brother and sister to stumble in the name of me exercising my Christian liberties. Number 5, alcohol skews my judgment. Number 6, alcohol leaves me worse, not better. When I do it, number 7, what I do in moderation, my children will do in excess. Number 8, even the unsaved know that I shouldn't drink. With a Bible in one hand and a beer in the other, any lost person could point this out as a contradiction. Alcohol doesn't bring others closer to the Lord when they see me drinking, but pushes them farther away. Alcohol doesn't bring me closer to the Lord when I drink, but further away. Number 11, I want to be fully awake and ready for the return of Christ, not drowsy and sluggish and fuzzy. Number 12, show me a family for whom alcohol has made a positive difference. No, you won't be able to. These servants started to get drunk, and it wasn't good. There's a lot more in this passage, but I want to draw your attention to verse 48, and then we're done. That there is punishment for those servants who are not faithful, based upon the knowledge that they had, and to whom much is given, from him much will be required. In this country, we have been given much. We have Christian TV, we have Christian radio, we have Christian websites. You can hear about Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't know how many Bibles I've got down in my study. I've got lots of them. We've been given much. From us, much will be required. I think about that button sometimes. Jesus is coming. Look busy. I'm hoping that I'm watching. I'm hoping that I live my life as if He could come in the next 5 minutes. I'm hoping that I wouldn't change a thing. Because that's what faithful servants do. Let's stand, please. Father, we love you today. We thank you that you are always faithful. God, you are faithful when we are not faithful. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in here today that maybe have drifted away. Truth be told, they haven't picked up your Bible and they had trouble finding it this morning to bring it. Yeah, they haven't talked to you in weeks. And God, truth be told, as others are looking at their life, nobody's asking what the difference is. I pray, God, that on this day, that you'd help them to take that step back to you. God, you promised that if we'd make that step to you, you'd make a step toward us. So, Father, I pray that you'd help that to happen over the next few moments. Give us courage, God, to do what you'd have us to do on this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not in the place where God would look at you and say, there's my faithful servant, then I would invite you to come and spend a little time at the altar this morning. Richard, where are you? There you go. Thank you. It's almost silly for me to introduce these folks to you guys, the Arants. Some of you have known them way longer than I have, but they come to unite with us today. Promise a letter from Mount Pisgah, so I need somebody to make a motion. Oh, that was quick. all right, I know it's a little after 12, but I need you to be good on this. All in favor, say praise the Lord. Perfect. All right. Do you guys mind joining me and go with my wife there and give folks a chance to greet you on the way out today? All right. Thanks. Well, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for what we've experienced in this place today, the chance to be with brothers and sisters and to hear your word. God, to hear children laugh, it's been so good to be in your house today. Help us as we go from this place to share Jesus with everybody we meet. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.